everyone. Bo Billington with Finding That Next Gear. The sole purpose of this podcast is to talk to high-growth entrepreneurs, folks who have taken a concept from ideation, inception to growth, launch, and scale. And really a big pleasure to have Leroy Hyde on the call on the podcast today, man. Thanks for joining.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. Thank you for having me, Bo.
Yeah, and so I'm very interested in this podcast in particular because you're a local man, and our homes are probably 15, 20 minutes from each other, although we were just meeting each other today. But I've used your service for 2 years, and a lot of folks within my neighborhood use your service. And it's been super cool kind of watching your growth, watching the evolution of your marketing and just the way you position the company. And so, pumped to have you on, man. Really appreciate you joining.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure.
Yeah. Well, to hop in, let's kind of talk a little bit about, who are you? And what do you do? And what is Cutting Edge?
All right. Yeah. So what I like to start off with, to kind of get the point across of what Cutting Edge Firewood is a fire is like a beautiful sunset. There is no one on earth that dislikes it. You can take a 95-year-old man from Ethiopia or a little girl from the States, and they will both sit in front of a fire and enjoy it. It's universal, it's primal, and it's unifying. After a stressful day, I can take a whiskey and sit in front of a fire. Stress level goes down. I think deep thoughts. My wife can come out and all of a sudden the mood changes and it's romantic. My three daughters can come out and make s'mores and literally memories they'll have for a lifetime. Teenagers put their phones down and talk to their parents around a fire, and it can be at the center of a wedding party. And I make incredible food over our cooking wood, from pizzas to steaks to burgers to barbecue. And all that is the experience. I love the experience on one side. And then on the other side, before we got into the industry standard was wood would sit outside for 12 months, rot, literally have mushrooms growing out of it. And the business strategy, the branding, the customer service, and the overall experience match that product quality of rotting wood. So basically the industry was completely undisrupted. Because you try and think of a well-known firewood brand before Cutting Edge Firewood. I have a hard time thinking of another industry that was so ripe for disruption. And there's other really, really cool brands out there like Yeti, but before them, Coleman, Igloo, and other brands. And then, what is it? Death Water? Liquid Death, that's the name. People are like that, and really, really cool brand. But before them, everybody knows Aquafina.
it's funny you said that, and I totally agree. I have two daughters as well, by the way, and I've got an outdoor fireplace, but then a fire pit too. Mm-hmm. And historically, I was scrounging around the neighborhood looking for wood, but then you've got to let it dry for 6 to 9 months. Otherwise, I was going to the grocery store and just buying the bags of wood, and 9 out of 10 times you get it, you're ready to burn it, but it's smoky. It's super smoky, which then my wife and my kids don't even want to join me. So it ends up being me and the dog outside. So I came across, Cutting Edge, and you guys are not the cheapest, right? I mean, it's really kind of a concierge service. Yep. But the product and the quality, at least in my experience, has been top notch. And the wood burns, and it burns clean, and it burns bright. And there's no, of course there's smoke, but it's not very smoky because the wood's not saturated. And so I totally agree that I mean, I never would have thought of that industry because, I like firewood, but I'm not as passionate as you, obviously, but it has been primed for disruption. And I think you guys have done just that. And I love, again, not cheap, but the product, the value's there and it yep. justifies the price point. Well, maybe, just kidding. But so congratulations for that. And, your passion really shines through.
I appreciate it.
Yeah. So how'd you get into this? I mean, I looked at your LinkedIn profile, you've done a few different things, but you've been at this more or less seven plus years. But is it really just kind of a passion project, or, did you see an opportunity and kind of fall backwards into the opportunity, but also to your love for fires in general?
Yeah. The really, really quick version, because really it's a very long, it's a pretty cool story, but grew up unincorporated Ringgold, Georgia, big family of eight, pretty poor. So I had fires growing up and all that good stuff. But then in college, they had an entrepreneurial program. They were starting at Barry, and I started a different firewood company and actually did it for 2 years. Had no idea what I was doing, but towards the end, just had an epiphany that nobody's come into this space and been creative and thought outside the box ever. And so I kind of got obsessed about it, worked a few different companies. And then, funny enough, in 2013, got a nice corporate job that I probably could have turned into something cushy. And but 2 months in, they fired me. And I was like, okay, apparently I'm going to be doing the this is my chance to do the firewood. And so spent the summer setting everything up and started doing deliveries in fall of 2013. And very small scale. Had my first daughter that winter. That was snowpocalypse. Took me 8.5 hours to get home, if you remember that. And then I had some money set aside to get me through the summer, because of course firewood company didn't make a lot. But then hot water heater went out in our house, and the truck broke down, and that was about $18,000 to fix. And
we just
so
this last year, I believe.
Yes.
Yes. Really interesting. And I'm sure resonated with a lot of people. So sorry, I wanted to interject on that.
Oh yeah.
Keep going.
Absolutely. And then, long story short, I was able to get to this summer, actually bought out a competitor that was going out of business. And with that, it gave us a lot more juice. But then next year, grew a whole lot, exploded, couldn't keep up with the demand. But then,
sorry, but were you one dude in a truck at this point, or did you have
one dude in the truck? And I would actually it was a truck and a trailer. I had the firewood in these baskets that was palletized, and I had a what's called a mini skid steer. It looks like a bobcat had a baby with a ride behind lawnmower. Mm-hmm. And it would basically take me 2 hours per delivery. And it was, so I would go out and do 8 deliveries, and with driving and everything, I'd be gone for 18 hours. So I was working 100+ hour weeks. Second year, my wife was at home with our oldest, pregnant with our second, and working 50+ hours with the business. And I was out, woke up before anybody else and would get back sometimes after my girls would go to sleep, and just collapse. And that was basically the first few years. And then and a lot of scary ups and downs, running out of money that I'll skip over. But in 2017, I saw an opportunity to take things to kind of the next level. And I came to my wife and said, hey, babe, I know we have 2 little girls at home and you're 8 months pregnant with our third. I also did a LinkedIn post on this. And let's sell our house and invest it in the business. So I have the best wife in the world.
Love it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was able to take that money and redo the branding, hire my first real employees on the customer facing side of the business, and redid how we do deliveries. And fast forward, all that we've done, we took deliveries from taking 2 hours per delivery, which was already innovative in the firewood world, to now it's about 15 minutes per delivery. We deliver in Atlanta, and now up to Chattanooga, Nashville, and Greenville and Charlotte. And then we also ship firewood and cooking wood all over the country. In 2019, we started putting out the yard signs, which you've seen, and made our first dollar outside of Georgia. and started our same day service here in Atlanta. And then COVID happened, and we,
by the way.
I appreciate it. Yeah. And then in 2020 happened, COVID happened, and we really exploded.
I guess and, everybody was home, right? I mean, what else are you going to do?
Everybody was home and contactless deliveries. And yeah, exactly. Everybody was putting in a fire pit. Everybody was getting a new grill, smoker, pizza oven, because they wanted to enjoy their homes. So, and everybody was on the internet. Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, I've had a lot of wood delivered from you guys, and you've got the electronic or mechanic dollies, you know,
yep.
And it's insane watching them. I've got a big back deck and see those things kind of come up, and it was one person that literally unloaded, you know, an entire, I can't think the name of the rack. Yeah. And it was just, it kind of blew my mind, honestly. So that's awesome. So I want to ask a couple of questions. So branding, I mean, so, you know, I would say your brand is obviously very strong. And do you think that was a big differentiator in kind of your success and really positioning?
Without a doubt. Yeah. Branding, we wouldn't be in business without the superior branding, for sure. There's really, I say there's three things that make up customer experience. And it is product quality, of course, it is customer service, of course, and then it is branding. And some people kind of look at that and they're like, really, branding affects the customer service? But, you know, if you own a Mercedes, you like that logo on the front. That's why you bought that and not the Hyundai Genesis.
It's the ultimate driving machine. Right? I mean, I agree.
Yeah, and it's like Louis Vuitton. How many times do they need to put their logo on that bag? For them, the answer is yes. I mean, the entire thing's covered with it, and people like that. And the Nike swoosh, anything that's a lifestyle luxury brand, branding is as important as the quality or service. But so, and then the other thing is, people's first reaction a lot of times when they see our products, they look at the pricing and they're like, you pay what for firewood?
Yes.
And so really there has to be something that makes them go, okay, there has to be something different about this. Right. And I'm going to try it out. And then they tell their friends, if that makes sense. So
mouth is how I heard about you. I mean, literally I had guys in the neighborhood, they came over, I had a smoky fire. I was complaining. I got my, you know, my torch out. Could not get a good base for the fire, about gave up, and somebody was like, hey man, check out this brand, not the cheapest on the planet, but you know, the wood burns long, it burns bright, and it's little smoke as you can get.
Yep, absolutely, exactly.
Well, that's awesome. Yeah, and we'll try to put some pictures of your actual branding and boxes on this podcast, because I do love kind of
Perfect.
The charcoal kind of color, and it's very just it's slick. So kudos to you, and I totally agree
Thank
with
you.
The side of the house that, you know, companies that aren't spending enough money on branding, it's a missed opportunity. It's not cheap, and the ROI is not always as visible or as quick as you'd like, but it's really part and parcel for the overall kind of company and the overall experience. So, you know, so how has your role changed within the organization from, you know, working 3 hour plus weeks, being the delivery man and the business owner, you know, to fast forwarding eight years later?
Yeah, I say owning a business is like having a child. There's so many parallels. It's not even funny. Ironically, I did both at the same time. But when you first start a business or when you have a child, it changes your life in ways that you can never anticipate. And your life is never the same afterwards, no matter what.
Good and bad.
Yeah, good and bad.
Yeah.
And which everything in life that we want or need is on the other side of hardship, if you think about it.
Yeah.
Anything from as shallow as if you want six pack abs, you got to work out and diet, which sucks. So if you want a healthy marriage, you got to sacrifice a lot. Mm-hmm. But in business and anything you think about that you want, there's sacrifice that's come for it. But so for a business in the beginning, you're changing the dirty diapers, you're losing all the sleep, you're doing everything. But as the business grows up, as the child grows up, things change, and you can start taking your hands off of things a little bit. Mm-hmm. And you kind of have to start to trust it. Because if you're a helicopter parent, mm-hmm. you can stunt the development of your child. And if you're a micromanager of your business, you can start to control it. But it's definitely either a balance or even really like a tension where sometimes, you know, you don't want to let your 3-year-old child walk home from school.
Yeah.
And so you can do it too early. And same thing with your business. If you let somebody come in, they will run with their own vision and take your business in the wrong way. So it's this weird balance. And then now my business is kind of like at that teenage level where it's a different kind of stress. And it is very much a trying to guide the business, but not being a micromanager.
Sorry, go ahead.
I was pretty much finishing up. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, sure. No, I can completely relate to kind of what you just shared. I'm the same situation as well. It's like, you know, entrepreneurship it's difficult. It's not for the faint of heart. Like the sleepless nights have never gone away for me, at least. Like I still wake up at 3 a.m. But what I think about now is different than it was last year, the year before, and when I first started, you know, on this entrepreneurial journey. And I agree, you know, first couple of years, I was interested in kind of a lifestyle business and it was nice, but last 2 years, I've been more interested in scaling. And that's kind of, you know, really introduced what you mentioned about kind of having to let your hands off the wheel a little bit, you know, provide guidance, but also trust in the people that are doing some of the work on the ground. And I think that's really kind of a bit difficult for most people. And then also juggling all that while being married and also having kids myself. And it's funny, when I first started my company, I always told everybody that, like, they're like, what's the barometer for success? And I was like, well, after 5 years, if I'm still married, you know, then I feel like I did the entrepreneurial thing right. And I feel like that's also a balancing act too, because I've seen far too many entrepreneurs that 100% in, and their families and everything is kind of secondary. That's their baby. And I found myself in clips too, where it's like, I've got to get this work stuff done. And then you forget about what's important. And so it's, I feel like we're always have, you know, a bunch of just spinning plates, and at any moment, one of them can come crashing down, and you just got to stay frosty.
Yeah. And it's really, it's the comparing it to like a balance is helpful, but really I see it more of like a tension, if that makes sense. Cause it's not something like, it's not like I can completely ignore the business, because that's not good for my family. They're not cared for. So you have to be able to do both, but at the same time, yes, you have to be very intentional with your wife, and you have to be very intentional with your kids.
Agreed. So in that vein, you know, what do you think the number one trait is for entrepreneurs that actually find success versus those that don't?
Well, obviously, success is different. One of the ways you're talking about success is having a healthy family at the same time, which is definitely how I would define success as well. But as far as being successful with the money aspect and scaling and becoming well known, it's a combination of having both the vision, being able to think outside the box, and being creative while having that grit, where giving up is not an option. Something that I don't even think about it, but it was very helpful in the beginning, was the analogy of comparing to, apparently in ancient history, generals would burn the ships after they would sail their armies
across.
Burn
the boat, man. 100%.
Yeah.
No way back.
Yeah. And then you have all the different sayings, like in the military, they say embrace the suck. And there's just a bunch of that where really you can't just think, if I can only get there, I'll be happy. You have to enjoy the challenge and the sucky parts.
So it's funny you mention that. I totally agree. You use the word grit. I use the word perseverance, but I've kind of found that's the difference. It's like waking up, realize that it's going to be horrible, and figuring out a way to enjoy the journey while you're having it. And that's hard for a lot of people. It's hard for me sometimes. You know, oftentimes I'll find myself having to look back over the last 6 years and think about the good to put myself in a better mind frame. But embracing the suck is kind of one part of my mantra, but also burning the boat. And I've got something I wrote about that, about burning the boat. And I feel entrepreneurs that have one foot in corporate America and one foot out, you're just going to be in this in-between world. And unless you kind of get rid of that safety net and go all in. And I mean, you have a phenomenal story. Like, let's sell the house and invest in the business. I mean, most people's spouses, you know, their heads would explode and that would be the end of it. But
before I got my wife a new house, I would always joke, yeah, a lot of entrepreneurs lose their house. So I just went ahead and got that distraction out of the way.
That's awesome. Well, a couple more questions for you, and then I'll let you run. But if you could go back and give yourself. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Along the lines of what you were saying, I read in a book by Angela Duckworth that I like. That's passion is common. Perseverance is rare.
Love that.
Yep.
You know, it's funny to talk about that, too. Before I started my company, I always thought about all the people. Everybody has good ideas. And they're passionate about it, but not many people actually take the steps to put that passion into motion. And I think that's kind of what sets those that do and those that don't. Just a quick sidebar. But a couple more questions for you, Leroy, I'll let you get out of here. And I appreciate your time. So if you could go back and give yourself one piece of advice prior to starting Cutting Edge, just one piece. I'm sure you could probably write a book.
I would. One piece. That is hard to nail it down to one thing. I think I would, it's ironic. For me, I actually would have, and this isn't inspiring. This is the opposite of what people write on LinkedIn. For me, it actually would have been, stick to your gut, more. Because I've had over the past few years, marketing people, that I've let go, both internal and external, that I brought on and I thought of them as experts, and they came in thinking they were experts and they were going to improve or replace my branding, or how we did marketing, if that makes sense. And it was a costly education. And really it was so that's I should have been more stubborn, basically, and stuck to what I knew our customers like and want, and how the basics of what of what has made Cutting Edge Firewood what it is.
Well, so I think that's interesting, and I realize what you said, you know, to your point, may go counter to what you see on LinkedIn, but you know, also, too, though, you are the brand. It is your company. It is your vision, and I do believe that to a certain extent. I mean, if you're not stubborn about the brand could take on a multitude of different things, and you could very easily lose your purpose, you know, your values, all of these things, and so you know, I struggle with that as well. It's like, I know this is right, but sometimes you listen to too much outside influence and outside advice, and it's hard to find your center. But I agree. I mean, I'm doing things now that I thought were right in year one, but I abandoned them, you know, year two and year three, because somebody thought it was the right direction. And now I'm kind of going back to my roots. So I get that.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, let's do a quick lightning round, man. We'll get you out of here. So what's your favorite aspect of being your own boss?
Favorite thing about being my own boss is being able to think outside the box.
Yes, I get the creative energy from that as well, and that's when I'm most happy. So I can relate.
There's so many rules that people have written and unwritten, and I like being able to just ignore those. But yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
That's why you are where you are. You're not in a grocery store with what right. you know. I'm not looking at those guys. And then least favorite part of being your own boss.
Least favorite part of being my own boss would be the stress. There is always when you work for yourself, when you work for other people, you feel more secure. You're not in reality more secure, but when you work for yourself, you see all the risks and you know everything that can go wrong.
100%. It's funny. My buddies think that all I do is play golf and like, I'm not stressed. And they don't know that I wake up super early. I work late and I always get the job done because I have to. And it is stressful. And prior to the end of this past year, I was super stressed because I wanted to take time off, but I had a lot of work that I had to pull in. So I can completely relate. Biggest success.
Oh, I've had a lot of what people would call huge successes. Like I mean, we've been in on Fox and Friends. We've been on the Today Show. We've been in Garden and Gun. We've been on a Netflix show, on a Hulu show. I cooked personally for a country music star, Walker Hayes, for his birthday, which was pretty fun. Just a small group of people. I was there cooking steaks for him. But I think genuinely my what drives me is the customer experience. I love it every single time somebody writes in. I did a LinkedIn post this morning because we got somebody that said, you guys wrote oh, what was the quote? It was exactly was I think Cutting Edge Firewood wrote the book on customer service. You guys have about every base covered, and believe me, I appreciate it. And we get those comments almost every day. And that's what I love is giving that experience to people.
No, that's great. That's awesome. Awesome answer. And I totally agree. I take pride in my work, and obviously you do as well. Biggest failure.
Yeah, biggest failure would be we tried to launch a website in 2021, and I let other people manage it, and it completely nosedive and crashed, and we had to go back to our old website, and actually caused like a ripple effect, other issues. So that would definitely
Understood. I can relate completely.
it.
Two more questions and then we're out of here. What's the hardest part about having your own business outside of the stress?
Outside of stress, man. It's it is that tension of time management. I'm proud of what I've done because, for instance, I actually took the entire last year. I took March off, and then every Sunday, I ignore my phone completely. Spend time with family, spend time worshiping, and so that kind of really renews me every week. But the other 6 days, I just can't stop thinking about work, and so that tension of being intentional with my family.
Love it.
But
Lastly, where can people find you?
I'm on LinkedIn, Leroy Height. You can find me there. Obviously, our website is cuttingedgefirewood.com.
Excellent. We'll be sure to add the links to the post. And hey, man,
Perfect.
really appreciate the conversation. Appreciate you taking the time. Sincerely, that was a lot of fun. I wish you tons of success. And you guys seem like you're a rocket ship trajectory right now. So keep it up.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You got it, man. Cool.